Imagine waking up every morning excited to go to work. For most of us, that's a fantasy. Gallup's global research spanning 142 countries reveals only 13% of workers feel truly engaged by their jobs. The vast majority are simply checked out, with many actively despising what they do. This represents an enormous waste of human potential. 90% of adults spending half their waking lives doing things they'd rather not do. Why has work become something to endure rather than enjoy? The answer lies in a powerful myth that has shaped modern work for over two centuries. Since Adam Smith's vision of the pin factory, we've operated under the assumption that humans are naturally lazy and will only work when properly incentivized with rewards. This philosophy led to breaking work into simple, meaningless units for maximum efficiency. Frederick Taylor's scientific management refined this approach, using time and motion studies to determine the one best way to perform any task, stripping workers of autonomy and creativity. What's particularly insidious about this worldview is how it becomes self-fulfilling. When we design workplaces assuming people only work for money, we create environments that make this false idea true. The belief that only elites want meaningful work while ordinary workers just want pay is both arrogant and false. Research shows workers at all levels desire purpose, mastery, and autonomy. When jobs offer nothing but compensation, people naturally fixate on pay, not due to human nature, but because of how work environments are designed. Consider micromanaged call centers, algorithm-tracked warehouse workers, and office employees under rigid productivity metrics. By stripping jobs of autonomy, meaning, and growth opportunities, we create workers who indeed show up only for the paycheck. Despite management theories acknowledging diverse workplace motivations, from Maslow to employee engagement, Adam Smith's narrow view of human nature still dominates how we organize work. The result is a self-reinforcing cycle. Disengaged workers, inferior products and services, and the widespread complaint that you just can't get good help anymore. A myth perpetuated through performance reviews, compensation systems, and workplace culture. When confronted with evidence of widespread job dissatisfaction, many assume only prestigious professions provide meaning. This assumption is wrong. Consider Luke, a hospital custodian whose job description contained nothing about patient care. When an angry father of a comatose patient complained about his room, Luke simply cleaned it again, understanding the father's stress. Luke and colleagues practiced job crafting, reshaping their roles to align with the hospital's healing mission. As one put it, "Making a patient smile can make my day." Even manufacturing, the birthplace of soul-crushing assembly lines, can offer meaningful work. When carpet manufacturer Interface committed to achieving zero environmental footprint, employee motivation increased. Interface flattened its hierarchy, gave employees greater discretion, and fostered innovation. Shop floor workers implemented numerous improvements, connecting to something bigger than making carpet. The pattern extends to service industries, too. Hairdressers take pride in understanding clients' needs and creating meaningful connections. These examples show that good work can exist in virtually any occupation when people can shape their roles around meaningful purposes. When employees find meaning in their work, it creates a virtuous cycle benefiting everyone. Market Basket grocery chain exemplifies this. When CEO Arthur T. Demoulas was fired in 2014, employees and customers staged a massive walkout to support a leader who treated them like family. His philosophy, treating everyone with dignity, maintaining quality while keeping costs low, and sharing success, created passionate workers who felt connected to the company's purpose. Despite evidence that these practices benefit businesses, many managers still design work systems assuming workers need constant monitoring and financial incentives. Research shows these approaches actually decrease engagement and satisfaction. The virtuous cycle is simple. Meaningful work improves performance, creating more value and organizational success, which enables further investment in meaningful work conditions. The opposite creates a vicious cycle, explaining why many workplaces become increasingly dysfunctional over time. Counterintuitively, adding financial incentives to intrinsic motivation doesn't simply add up. It can actually reduce overall motivation. Psychologists call this motivational crowding out, explaining why many incentive schemes backfire. At an Israeli daycare center, imposing fines for late pickups increased lateness from 25% to 40%. The fine transformed a moral obligation into an economic transaction, where parents felt entitled to be late since they were paying for it. When Swiss citizens were asked if they would accept nuclear waste dumps in their communities, 50% agreed out of civic duty. When offered financial compensation, acceptance dropped to 25%. Material incentives undermined existing moral motivation. The workplace implications are profound. Structuring work primarily around financial incentives may signal that the work itself lacks inherent value, particularly damaging in professions like teaching, nursing, or social work, where intrinsic rewards are central to professional identity. Ideas about human nature shape our workplaces and societies, like choosing between building walkways where planners think they should go versus paving where people naturally walk. Theories about human motivation either align with reality or force reality to conform to them. Do theories discover reality or invent it? False ideas can become true through belief, when people reinterpret their motivations to match prevailing theories, through self-fulfilling prophecies, and when ideology shapes institutional structures like assembly lines that make work meaningless. Carol Dweck's research shows children with mastery goals seek challenges and learn more than those with performance goals, demonstrating that intelligence grows when people believe it can. Similarly, managers with fixed theories of employee ability provide less coaching and feedback. If our theories about human motivation shape rather than merely describe reality, we bear tremendous responsibility for the theories we promote and the institutions we build upon them. Unlike instinct-driven scorpions, humans are shaped by our institutions. When workplaces enable valued work, we cultivate a human nature that values work. This transformation hinges on key questions. Why? What purpose inspires people? Every workplace has meaning beyond profit. Making this explicit connects workers to something larger. What? Does our work provide genuine benefit? Workers find deeper satisfaction when they believe their efforts help rather than exploit others. How? Do workers have freedom to use intelligence and discretion? Autonomy consistently correlates with satisfaction. Even small degrees of discretion significantly improve engagement. The Industrial Revolution solved material poverty, but often created spiritual poverty, a trade-off no longer necessary in our modern economy. As Springsteen noted, material rewards like TV, cars, houses are merely booby prizes compared to meaningful work. We can design workplaces assuming people are naturally lazy and money-driven, creating environments that fulfill this prophecy. Or we can design spaces that nurture our desire for mastery, autonomy, connection, and purpose. This choice affects not just productivity, but human flourishing. Our challenge is reclaiming meaning without sacrificing prosperity, creating workplaces where people can be fully human, rather than mere cogs.